Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Details at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the September 13 edition of Commodity Week. Well, the United States Department of Agriculture released the September crop production report, and it said the corn crop is getting bigger. We'll find out today on Commodity Week why that was the case.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Joe Persaki of USDA NASS. Our panelists today include Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County, Mike Zuzlo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas, and Brian Stark of the Andersons from Champaign, Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, let's start our discussion by recapping yesterday or Thursday's USDA crop production report. It showed that the average nationwide yield for corn was 155.3 bushels to the acre for a total production of 13.843 billion bushels, ending stocks for the 2013-14 marketing year at 1.855 billion bushels. And a $4.80 average season price for corn. On soybeans, 41.2 bushels to the acre for the national average for a production of 3.149 billion bushels total. The ending stocks settling up at 150 million bushels and a $12.50 season's average price. We're going to flip things around for the show and start with Joe Persaki, who's the director of the Statistics Division at USDA NASH. Joe is on the phone line from Washington, D.C. Joe, thanks for taking the time. I want you to go through something for me because there were a lot of questions as we headed into this particular report about when acreage and harvested acreage might be changed, if it would be changed at all. Some were expecting not really that it would happen in the month of September. Oftentimes it happens in the month of October. What can you tell us about historically that takes place?
Right. Thanks, Todd. It's a pleasure to chat with you guys again today. With reference to NASS and acreage changes with corn and soybeans, generally, you know, we'll start off, you know, in June, we'll establish the acres, then we come around in August. And in August, well, if we make any sort of acreage change, it's generally based on if we have sufficient evidence. Like this year, we did a resurvey on soybeans, and we made some acreage changes there in soybeans. We don't do anything on corn and soybeans in September. However, in October, the FSA certified planted area data, historically we have felt has been at a sufficient level that we can use it to make acreage changes at that time in the October crop production report. So that's kind of where things are heading, but the questions that we've had with FSA and the ongoing discussion is, as you know, the sign-up date was pushed back to August 2nd, and we're trying to get a feel on is there a delay in the data coming into FSA at this time. So, you know, we're looking at, we're talking with FSA constantly just to get a feel where they are on things.
Will you, as an agency, put into a pre-report itinerary of some sort, whether or not that acreage is expected to be changed or updated?
Uh, uh, Generally not. That's a good question. You know, we have not put out a press notice in recent years, but we have in the past. So that's something that we could think about. You know, we can say that, you know, that we will be incorporating in the FSA data, but we can look at that to let people know exactly what we're doing and how we go about doing that process.
Boy, I know a lot of us that would really appreciate that, Joe. You know, considering that the heat has pushed the corn crop into finishing before full maturity, how does NAS factor in test weight?
Okay, really, NAS does not, you know, we do not consider test weight. What we are attempting to do is really three things when we do our field work. Is one, we try to establish, you know, fruit per acre, so in this case on corn, you know, ears per acre. The second thing is how much weight or mass do we see for every one of those ears. And so coming into October, given where, as you mentioned, where things are with this crop and the way it appears to be heading, we likely will have quite a bit of data in our lab in St. Louis to process for a grain weight, and then the final component is a harvest loss, but that's pretty much steady. Well, you commented on test weights. One thing that I've taken away from the USDA data users meeting, you know, in Chicago, that people really would like to have a feel about test weight. Well, since we have the centralized lab now in St. Louis for objective yield work, last year I started to have the folks there to record when they are, you know, processing our samples from the field to process the, we always have processed the moisture level, which we need to adjust, but I said, well, you might as well get the test weight at that time as well. So the intent is at some point in the future when we have a couple, 2-3 years, you know, so people can get a feel of where things are going, we hopefully will publish that information because, one, it also would help us get a better handle on a stocks question. You know, so if there's a lighter test weight, what does it mean for stocks later down the road, and so forth and so on. It just helps us understand what's going on.
Hi, Joe. It's Brian. Thanks for joining us. I'm going to switch to soybeans because I know that's a popular subject. One of the biggest statistics that stuck out to us is that your data in the last report showed the 8th worst 7-state soy pod count if you include Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Missouri in the last 20 years, yet we're looking at the second highest ever pod weight. It just doesn't seem like that correlates very well, and just wondering if you could comment on that. And then the other question I wanted to ask quickly is, it seems like in the old crop on bean exports, we've actually shipped more than what we're estimating to use by about 16 million bushels, and we're a little surprised that we didn't see an increase in old crop bean export usage.
Okay, I can answer part of this question because you asked about the pod weight versus the actual pods. The thing to take away from that is last year was the lowest pod count for our 18 square feet ever. You know, ever means I've got like about 20 years of data I'm looking at here. But yet it was the highest ever pod weight that we saw. So this year we're coming in, and in whatever the span of data I have since 1989, it's this year's the second, looks to be the second lowest pod count that I see here in my data. So, you know, our folks in our methods group, you know, where they've run some of the, you know, analysis on that, you know, and it does appear to be there's a negative correlation to it. Now, we're working early here, and we'll see. I definitely will know in October when we get the pods into the lab and get a feel for that. But the pod count, it's simply not there. Then as for the export question and that sort of thing, our friends at the World Agricultural Outlook Board, they could probably help you a lot more than I can on that. So I'll refrain from answering that question.
Brian Stark, of course, is with the Andersons. Mike Zuzulo is on the phone line, too. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting.
Joe, thanks for your service up there in Washington, and thanks again, like Brian said, for joining us. Crop progress numbers with only about 9 or 10% maturity this year runs really close and is analog with 2009 and 10%, but the crop condition seems like we're running more like the past couple years. How do you see this? as we go from September to October, especially in terms of how you continue to measure those independent variables, including what you're talking about with Jackie on that objective grain weight.
Right. Great. Thanks, Mike. When we talk about we on corn, when we look forward on that, when we our numerators out in the field, we ask them to give assessment of maturity, and we do ask for them to record that. It's a factor between like 1 and 7, just to get a feel. You're exactly right. The maturity, average maturity category that we're seeing in 2013 is a tenth of a point different than this time in 2008 and 2009. Virtually no change. We're about we're almost like the last year was so far ahead, and we were 1.2 points ahead in this scale. So if we're like at about a 4.5 this time, we were well over that, pushing a 6 category, well in the dent stage. And in 2010, we were very far ahead. So, this crop, it's behind right now, but it's sort of slowing. It's catch, as again, our methods, guys, when they look at the data, it always catch up. So there's an anticipation that this crop's going to have a huge jump in maturity, between now and October when we're out there. Now, what does that mean for us when we're counting? Really, it really doesn't make a difference, because when we're counting, you're counting number of stalks and counting number of ears, and then if the crop is mature enough, dent stage or beyond, we will send samples to the lab. So if the crop is finishing up quicker than, say, normal, we will have a lot more information from our lab as we process in for the October report.
Yeah, Joe, one of the things that I hear probably the most complaints about in some respects are some of the adjustments that are made. And I know you can't address the World Board, but you can certainly address the U.S. numbers on corn yesterday. And is there any rhyme or reason to when these adjustments are made? I mean, are you getting information from other divisions that bring this about? Or
what respect with corn? I mean, we like the corn yield, because the big factor on that was the ear count on corn. Because when we were out in for our August report,
Joe, I was talking about old crop. I wasn't talking about new crop.
Old crop. I really can't answer that. But basically, what they are working off is with the old crop, they are anticipating the NAS grain stocks report that's going to come out at the end of this month is what they're working off of, and using any sort of information they get from various sources.
Okay, so they're actually putting out what they consider to be a potential adjustment that would come out of the grain stocks?
Exactly. So you have to remember what the folks in the World Board are doing for both corn and soybeans. With the old crop, when they start in in May of the year, they're trying to speculate what NAS will hit that ending stocks number, at the end of the season. You follow me? So it's out. So that's what they're trying to do. And I tell folks, well, we're in the field right now finishing up our grain stock survey for both on-farm and off-farm, which will give us our ending stocks for both corn and beans.
Joe, let me make sure that I have this right for clarification's sake, because you don't produce the World Ag Outlook Board numbers. Your expectation was that the WASD change on the U.S. crop size from last year is an expectation of what the grain stocks will look like at the end of the year. Is that right?
At the end of the month, right. This is for old crop, because you have to remember, they're always projecting what the ending stocks will be.
Okay.
Moving out into the future. And so when the December 2012, January 12th, but the December 1 grain stocks report, that's the beginning stocks for the 2012 crop. And then the January or the March report, that's, a midpoint correction, and the June report is a midpoint correction. So they're looking at that. And then the September grain stocks that we publish, that That number will be the ending stocks for last year, you know, for the 2012-2013 crop. So they're trying to forecast out what that's going to be.
So are you saying then that if the grain stocks report at the end of the month doesn't jive with the 660, the 661 that they currently have, then that'll be adjusted again in the October report?
That's a true statement.
Okay.
That's what we need to know. Any final word from you before we let you go, Joe?
Well, I appreciate chatting with you folks. And again, I want all the farmers out there and the growers that take the time to fill out the NAS reports. I always appreciate that, because who knows best about what's going on in their operation? It's not me sitting in Washington, D.C., or my staff, or the folks sitting in our regional offices. It's that farmer or grower out there in the countryside that we really appreciate the time they take to fill out those reports.
Joe, we really appreciate you taking the time on a Friday evening, an hour later than we are, to join us for Commodity Week. We really do appreciate that, too.
Not a problem, Tom. Thanks.
Joe Prusaki is with USDA NAS, where he's the director of the Statistics Division. When we come back, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes and Brian Stark and Mike Zuzolo. This is Commodity Week. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. So far, September has been hot and dry. The only area to receive significant rain was in western Illinois, with amounts ranging between 1/2 inches all the way up to 3 inches. Most of that fell between Quincy, Springfield, and Galesburg. A few other areas received about an inch, including Chicago, the Pontiac area, and the southeastern part of Illinois near Lawrenceville. Temperatures have been 4 to 6 degrees above average for September. The National Weather Service forecast indicates that we'll see more weather appropriate for September in the coming week. Daytime highs on Saturday will be in the low to mid-70s across the state. Overnight lows will be in the upper 40s and low 50s. Highs on Sunday will be in the 60s in northern Illinois and in the mid to upper 70s in the rest of the state. Lows Sunday night will be in the mid to upper 50s. The rest of the week is expected to have a warming trend, so that the highs on Wednesday and Thursday will be in the low 80s and the nighttime lows will be in the 60s. There is a 30 to 60% chance of rain on Sunday and Monday, as well as a 20 to 40% chance for rain for the rest of the week, especially in western and northern Illinois. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
This is the September 13 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined today by Brian Stark of the Andersons, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson, and Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Some of the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for the week. September corn was down 41.5 cents. It settled at $4.50, and the September soybeans at 14.88¾ were up 51¾. Both of them expired, of course. December corn for this year at 473.5 on its top for the week. The bottom at 456¼ finished $4.59, up 9¼. And November beans at 1381½ were up 13¾. I should say that December corn was down 9¼ cents for the week. So it highlights kind of something that we've been talking about on the air for a while, Jackie Vakes, which is that the soybean to corn ratio is changing and it is getting larger. What are your expectations?
Well, we closed above 3 today, just a hair above 3, first time since August of 2009. I'm thinking we could go to 3.3, and, you know, what does that mean? Well, if you looked at September, beans went off the board today at 14.88, and, you know, you would expect that November would try to go there. We could have 4.50 corn and 14.85 beans. So I think that there are people who are thinking that as long as beans are going to go up, it's going to take corn with it. And I think it's going to take more than just beans going up to be able to push corn higher.
Brian, when you look at a ratio like that, does it change the way you as an elevator manager think about space internally?
It does, but I think as you look forward, you can clearly see that there's a carry in corn and there's not a carry in soybeans in the nearby. So most facilities that handle beans aren't going to store them very long as you move forward. And what I find interesting is the fact that the ratio in modern times hasn't gone past 3-2, but you can go back to 1973, and I think somebody said this week that it actually got out to 5-1 at one point. And I think the risk we run with the soybean market, and you can see it in the back end this week if you watch No 14 Beans, we're encouraging more oilseed production in the world, and you're going to almost flip a switch where we overproduced coarse grains, and the risk is definitely bearish with this ratio for new crop 14 beans forward.
And Mike, how does it play into your analytical thinking?
Well, a couple things. I think, you know, picking up on what both Jackie and Brian talked about, one good side of this is that there is still going to be an acreage battle out there, it seems like, in 2014. I can remember 3 weeks ago, many in Chicago were starting to throw in the towel that we were not going to need to have any kind of corn acreage battle in 2014 between corn and beans because we'd populate the supply well enough that we'd have a cushion built back up. And I think this week's report really changed that in a medium term and in a manifest way, Todd. I think the other thing I would call to mind is the idea that it is not really that hard to see the need to ration demand more in beans. And what Brian was talking about is really interesting because I don't normally have questions asked of me at 1350 beans of whether they should store, let alone commercially store beans. But I started having questions at the end of this week exactly about that from producers, especially in the eastern corn belt, that will probably have decent corn and decent bean yield. So the inverse in beans is being offset by the bullishness of the crop report in some respects, in my opinion.
And what did you give them as an answer?
Well, I'm sorry?
What did you give them as an answer as to whether they should store beans?
You need to ration demand, in my opinion, very, very quickly here, and you don't want to jump into off the combine sales. If you could store for 30 days or 20 days and see how the market looks in 20 days, because the rationing and the demand needs to come right away, because the small crop probably gets smaller in October, and also you saw this big, big gap above the market left after the September expired this week. So my take is that it's worth some short time storage to let this all play out.
So your expectation is take it to town, but don't sell it right away.
Exactly right, yeah. And I'm not looking, you know, I talked on the daily video on Friday afternoon. I would not be surprised to see the beans take a little bit lower move at the beginning of the week next week and maybe clean the chart up and get that gap out of the way at around 1369 in November, but you still have a pretty healthy gap above the market.
Well, you know, and you and I know this because we've talked about it already, but I'm kind of in the other camp. I think that when you look at beans, there's nothing wrong with making sales off the combine, but you have to re-own it. And I'm looking to re-own out in July. You know, it is an inverted market. I think that if we may push the nearby further high, you know, further up, but I think that the July will go right along with it, and I think that that's not a bad way to approach it.
Well, and I think that's the same thing. You know, I think whether you sell across the scale or you hold it in DP storage, I think you have to find a way to remain long because the 13 beans have the most upside. I think the interesting piece, if we switch over to corn, is you want to, the biggest carries in corn, and I think the producer needs to understand that, but that doesn't mean staying long his bushels by putting them in the bin and hoping that January, February, March are going to get a rally, because I think everybody's going to be dealing with the same thing. They can afford to wait to get cash flow later, and once they do that, it's going to pressure the board. So I think you need to look at hedge-to-arrive contracts, things like that, locking in a price, and then pick up your carry.
And I'm with you, Brian, especially on the corn side of things. When you have that much carry in the market, if you're going to put it in the bin, you better protect the carry.
And Mike?
I'm still a paper hedger. I don't like doing a lot in the cash market, Todd. I think one of the things that's still unanswered out there, and I think Joe helped illuminate this some, is that the trade really has been trading a 2009-type market. and maybe rightfully so from a standpoint of where the crop maturity is, but I think the crop's a lot different than 2009. It was really interesting. I went back and looked at 2009, and USDA actually took the yield from 162 to 164 in the October report, yet the 2009 D's corn continued to rally all the way into pretty much expiration. So I think you've got a big enough supply priced in at this point, and so I don't think it's maybe a commercial storage would be difficult for me on the corn, but on-farm storage to me says for 3 months I can take the risk.
Do you have the 2010 numbers? Did you look at those two or not?
No, I did not.
Okay, that's fine enough. We probably need to pull those and take a look and see what those look like as well. What's the big thing producers need to think about, Jackie, for corn in the next 3 weeks other than being safe on the combine?
Well, I think that, you know, it isn't unusual when you get everybody out there. We were all expecting that this particular harvest was going to drag on a lot longer than, you know, in any wet year you normally have that. It doesn't appear like that's really going to be the case, especially with this heat that we've had. And so I think that you have to keep a very, even if you're sitting on the combine, and the minute that people get on the combine, they kind of forget about a lot of things because they have a lot on their mind. You have got to stay on top of what's happening with this crop.
Yeah, so my expectation, I guess, and maybe producers will be in the same place, Brian, is that because October is the crop insurance setting month for the harvest price, that they really have to watch that for both, well, mostly for the beans as opposed to the corn, I think, because for beans they're not going to do anything with likely, but corn, that number is going to give them some idea of what that crop insurance payment's going to be like.
That's correct. I think obviously when you talk about what a producer needs to do, his cheap put that he has with his insurance policy, it expires October 31st. So you have to honestly look at, as we start to see yield reports come through, and if the size of the crop feels like you're getting bigger, again, I'll reiterate my opinion is that I think the producer is going to struggle to see $5 corn unless beans really take off. And I think anytime you get up in that upper $4 area, you got to take advantage of making some, at least some future sales.
Mike, a final point from you?
Well, I think that with your crop insurance point really in the foreground of my next comment, I think it's in its totality, this week's trade and the USD report would make me want to lift hedges in corn and in beans had it not been for the wheat not following through on Friday and making new weekly highs. And like Jack, you're saying, had it not been for the fact that we're really picking up the pace on the harvest. So keeping paper hedges for the next 10 to 20 days and playing it like 2009, I think makes a lot of sense right now.
My only comment is we've had too many accidents out, and I had a personal situation where someone was harmed. So please, please be very, very careful during harvest.
And Brian, a final word from you too.
I think you have to pay attention to the quick ship premiums in the market. And if you've got crop ready, be able to take advantage of those.
Thanks much to Brian Stark. He's with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson, also in Champaign County. And, of course, Mike Zuzulo is at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, in Atchison, Kansas. Mike, I'll put you in the right place yet. One of them, eh? And actually, Mike and Jackie will join me on Tuesday evening of this coming week. We'll be in Belleville at the Farm Bureau building, that for one of our Will Ag Outlook panels. And then in Mazan on Thursday night, Jerry Goodell and Kurt Kimmel and Dave Dickey will have a panel. So if you're in one of those areas, I think they both start at 7 o'clock. Please do stop by and say hello.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.